I'm Frank Vaughn. It's April 25th, 2024, and this is one of the strangest elections that I've ever been involved in, that I've ever had to think about. I spent, over the last couple days, several hours talking to various individuals who are connected in the political scene, who have their own opinions, who have their own thoughts, and people I've talked to for, well, some a bit more short-term, and some I've talked to for almost a decade now. Getting their insight, getting their perspective on what we're about to face. And also their opinions on my recent work. It seems to be a consensus that what I need to upgrade now is production value. And there's a lot of meaning to that. I've actually been thinking about that a lot. What is production when you are the product? Getting in front of a camera and talking to people and communicating. What is production value? And I've actually had a lot of insights come out of that thought process, but I digress. I really want to just do a straight monologue today with no cuts. There was a rally in Saskatoon last night, and one of the reasons I didn't get another part of the book review out is I was contemplating going to that rally, and at first I was thinking about going, and then I thought back to the interview I did with Shadow Davis. For those of you who are paying attention, that happened, I don't know, a week, 2 weeks ago. And it was a really good interview. But Shadow, who I don't know what his following is across podcasting platforms, my impression is that in spite of having one of the greatest radio voices in known history, that he's a little smaller than me. And it's just for comparative purposes, because here's a guy who is a CPC supporter, a CPC voter, who went to a rally with Polyev and his local MP, and when he got to the door, he wasn't allowed in because he was obviously on a list somewhere because he had said some critical things of the CPC or done some rabble-rousing, I don't know. But he wasn't allowed in. So as I was preparing to go to this rally, I was thinking to myself, oh, I was thinking about the gas cost because I don't have a huge pool of resources right now, and I was thinking about that and how I could spend the hours driving down there, spend the money getting down there, and then arrive at the door and find out that I'm on some kind of list and that I myself couldn't get in the door. And I don't know if that's the fact. I have no idea. But I do know that over the course of time, and in spite of what many would say, I have been critical of the Conservative Party where I see fit to be critical of them. Did that earn me a place on a list? I'll never know. But what I didn't want to happen, I didn't want to go down there and find out that I was on a list. Because if I was not allowed to enter a Conservative Party rally because I was on some kind of list, I'd have to talk about that. I'd have to report that. And of course, my reportage wouldn't be favorable. I'm a Conservative Party voter. So rather than test it, I just decided to stay away because I didn't want to have to make that report. And I wouldn't be able to cover it up if it happened to me. I'd have to talk about it, even though it would be contrary to my own stated interests. I would have to tell the story. And the only way to avoid having to tell that story is to just stay away and not have the event happen. So I stayed home and I didn't go to the Saskatoon rally. And I hope it went well. But I think it's interesting that this is an indicative of where we are, that this is the thought process that I have to go through. I don't judge harshly, or I should say, I don't judge fully harshly, the Conservative Party being defensive in this political climate. They're trying to win an election. And my own instincts are misaligned with my fears. This is a weird one, and this is what I'm trying to define here. I am definitely invested in this election outcome. If you've watched my reviews of Mark Carney's book, you'll understand, or any of the coverage that I've made of the Liberal Party under Mark Carney and where Mark Carney comes from. I call him the Grim Reaper, not because it's clever, not because I think I'm creative, but because I think that very closely defines what he represents to Canada. He's here to take the soul of this country away across the River Styx to never come back. The people who are supporting him, believing that he will save us from the United States, are on a fool's errand. If anything, he'll weaken us to a point where the United States can easily absorb the entire country. It's his stated objective. His own office is talking about the suffering, that in 15 years, nobody will be able to afford housing and there'll be subsistence hunting off the land. He wants to add massively to our deficits. And I would argue he's going to come for our pension plans. He's going to dictate where you can invest your money in pursuance of his net zero dream, which permeates all of his written work. It's his life's work. He believes, whether he believes it or not, you don't know. Because the thing about Mark Carney that's the most disturbing is that he is, aside from his actions, which indicate that he is about the World Economic Forum, that he is about Davos, that he is about the elite, that his whole career is in pursuit of them. He defames tax havens while he sets them up for people. He defames the rich for not paying their fair share, but he is the rich. He is the oligarch. So how do you gauge a man's true intention when he says one thing and does another and does it so fluidly? But back to the point of this election, as a conservative voter, my vote, I don't want to reward the liberals with a fourth term. I don't want to reward Mark Carney for being parachuted into this country, back into this country, and asking for the keys to the palace. After the liberals and the NDP have pioneered this new form of governance here in Canada, and maybe people out there aren't aware of how precedent-setting the last 6 months has actually been. It's longer than that, because the order in councils when it comes to the ban of firearms go back a long way. But they're governing free of parliament. The stuff that I said about the fact that they could just rule without an election still remains facts, even though we got an election. The fact is, we didn't deserve one. They wanted one for public opinion because they're going to do some very disastrous things to this country, and they want to be able to say, you voted for it. That's why we're here. But what they pioneered was government by order and council. While parliament wasn't sitting, while government's been sent home, they were still governing behind the scenes. And worse yet, during an election campaign, through the Governor General's office, they issued billions, like $40-odd billion dollars in spending at the stroke of the Governor General's pen. This is pioneering stuff. And whoever forms the next government, regardless of whether it's a minority or a majority, is going to gain the benefit of this new precedent that's been set. And if it's the Conservatives, I hope they use it, because it's the Liberals and the NDP who gifted them that power. And maybe that's why they want to stop the Conservative Party so thoroughly. Everybody's against them. Now, that being said, I don't deify Pierre Poilievre. I don't deify the Conservative Party of Canada. You would be foolish to put your faith in any political party, in any political leader. Faith alone for the Lord above. If you're going to put faith in anything at all, it must be something divine. Or, I suppose, for those who just can't get their heads wrapped around something greater, then you need a philosophy, something above yourself, some set of rules and principles that supersede your humanness, that you try to bend your will to, that you try to dedicate yourself to, that you pursue. Something so good and so noble that you can never fully achieve it. You spend your whole life pursuing it, that greater. But I digress. It is not for politicians and men to have that ascribed to them. Now, make no mistake, for all the reasons I've said in my videos, I want Poilievre and the Conservatives to win. Because even though life becomes much clearer for me, much, much clearer, much, much more focused if Carney wins. I know exactly what I have to do until the goals are met or I'm back in the ground or I'm in jail. I don't know. I really don't know because Bill C-63 is still out there. He's talking about emergencies acts unending. So there's a very real possibility that those of us with an actual individual thought process who are reasonable will be rendered illegal by acts of parliament, which will get passed guaranteed through the Senate, which the Liberals control, and through the judiciary, which the Liberals control, and whatever they do will be promoted without fail by the captured media. You know, I get flack every single time a leftist watches one of my videos, and it does happen, for pointing the audience towards the fact that you're already in a virtual totalitarian state. They think that this election somehow nullifies all the other facts that I've highlighted, especially when I did that comparison between the value of a constitutional republic like the United States versus the federation that we live under, and how much more liberated and free the citizens of the United States actually are. And that also is not whitewashing the problems of the United States. There are several YouTube channels that just go around the United States driving around the places that are less traveled. They have the same dying small towns that we have here in Canada that are a North American feature. There's a lot of poverty. Things are not perfect. But if the citizen wants to take it, there's still opportunity and there's still better political representation. But again, I want the CPC to win. I want Polyev to be a prime minister, and I want him at the head of a strong majority government. And the reason for that is that it checks so many boxes at the same time. If they're genuine and they do all the things that they say they're going to do, you will see the true face of Canada. You will see the true power behind the curtain, which isn't your elected members of parliament, but the Senate, the judiciary, and all the institutions, the unions, the bureaucracy, which will be aligned against them as they try to act. And you will see it. And hopefully they have the wisdom to call upon the public to apply pressure to those systems from the outside. People pressure. Populist pressure. Because it will be needed to do anything. And they do have that power of using orders and counsel the same way the Liberals do, even though the media will say it's totalitarianism. The precedent was already set by the people that they defend. If the Conservative Party is insincere, if they become weak and milquetoast, if they get into office and they figure that they can't get anything done because of the political headwinds, well, then you'll see the weakness of the mainstream right exposed, and we'll end up with the same response that we would have had if Carney had won just a little later. It'll slow roll instead of come out the gate firing on all cylinders. So no matter what your objective, it can be accomplished under a CPC government. It just might take longer, which is okay. Because if it takes 6 months, a year, 2 years to mature, because they don't act, that's just more time for planning. That's just more time to roll out the ideals. Now, back to what I talked about at the beginning of the video, about the people that I've been talking to. And not just in the last couple of days, but over the course of getting back involved, reacquainting myself with my contacts and individuals. There's a lot of people who talk about Western separation, independence, who have talked about it for a decade, and that's all it's ever been. Conversations in passing. No one was ready for it. They're ready now. They're laying the groundwork now. And under Carney, it will happen so fast, this movement. And I'll be there, just like so many others. There's people today who are quiet, who on the morrow, on April 29th, will stop being quiet if Carney wins. Because that's the only way forward. It might be the only way forward even if Polyev wins. So that brings me to the most interesting part of my, whatever you want to call it, compass, my internalized compass, my gut, my feeling, my instincts. Things are out of alignment. Instinctually, And the thing about instincts is when you're emotionally invested in an outcome, your instincts get blinded. And I am always careful to hold on to self-doubt. I'm never entirely sure that I'm smart. That's why when inevitably people on Twitter call me a retard, I'm like, you might be right. Maybe I am. Maybe I am an idiot. You know, I don't know. But I strive against it. I'm always trying to learn. I'm always trying to become a more effective communicator because I'm not sure. And so when it comes to my instincts in this case, I'm not entirely sure because my feelings are involved. I think Mark Carney is really bad. I think he's the Grim Reaper. I dare say I think his intent could be defined as evil. And I can't reward that. Even if I thought it advanced my goals faster than the other guy, I can't reward it. It's immoral to do so. So I want Polyev to win, and I want the CPC to win, and I want it to be a strong win. And I think there's reasons, and this is where my instincts come in. My instincts aren't as doubtful as maybe they should be. You know, you see the polls, you see the media, you see a lot of downcast eyes when it comes to conservative influencers. At least several of the ones that I've talked to privately have indicated their doubts with good reason. I mean, conservative candidates not showing up for debates, which is terrible. It's terrible. I don't care what party you're running for. If you get an invitation to a leadership to a debate in your riding, you should be there 100%. It's an opportunity to put on display your skills. And maybe you don't have any skills. Well, you better learn them. What are you doing in politics if you can't talk and communicate? Do you think I wanted to go to any of those debates in 2019? No. But I went anyway. I had all kinds of anxiety for certain of them because I knew I was facing what I thought would be a hostile audience. And man, if you just tell the truth, you turn that audience. It's an incredible experience. And if you think you can't do that, you better learn how to fake it. Fake it till you make it. One of the things I learned being an introvert growing up, when I used to walk to school, I always had my head down and I looked at the sidewalk. The biggest thing that I feared every single grade all the way through was having to do a class presentation on a subject. Getting in front of a classroom full of people and actually communicating an idea was, oh, I would sweat uncontrollably. I would still, I mean that's still an outcome, depending on how hostile the crowd is. But eventually I just got sick of it. I'm just like, you know, I'm lonely. I don't have any friends. You know, if I ever hope to get married and have kids, I'm going to have to figure out how to do better communication, at the very least. And so I just looked at all the effective communicators that surrounded me and started learning. One of the first lessons I learned is never look at your feet. Wherever you're walking, have your head up, have your eyes up, and be scanning the horizon. Always look into the horizon. It's amazing how that'll make you feel. If you're feeling nervous, if you're feeling scared, stand up straight and square your shoulders. It helps. I guess it helps that I'm 6'5", but I think it'll help anybody. There's some guys I know, 5'9", 5'8", 5'7". There's one guy I know that's 5'6". Man, they have charisma. They have an aura of power. If you see them on camera, you would assume that they're 6'2". It's all in how you carry yourself. And when it comes to communication, I remember when I sat down and I filmed my first video. It was full of ums and ahs, much like Mark Carney now. And when I watched it back, because I don't really watch my own videos back anymore, but in the beginning I did because I wanted to know. What is it I'm doing wrong? How can I improve? Production value. Remember, we touched on that point. And so I practiced removing the ums and the ahs. They still seep in sometimes when I do a live stream with somebody. But for the most part, I figured out how to control that. And looking at the camera like I am right now, you watching this feel like I'm looking you in the eyes. And that's what I want. I want direct communication. It's not fake. Learning how to develop your skill set is just making you a better communicator. I blinked too much. I probably still do. So I had to teach myself how to keep my eyes open and not blink. See? I blinked twice there. It's natural to blink a lot, but I didn't like it when I was looking back at it on camera. Maybe that's a lesson that's gone by the wayside, but I digress. If you are somebody who is in politics, you better learn how to communicate. You better get to those debates. And back to the point, there are some conservative candidates at least, and who knows, there's probably NDP candidates too, because most of their candidates are paper. It's the same thing with the PPC and many of the lesser parties. You're not going to have candidates at debates because it's very intimidating. But you got to push past that, especially if you're a national party that's looking to form a government, and especially in those competitive ridings. You got to do it all. Door knocking, debates, media, anything you can do. But it's a weird one because I do want Polyev to win. I do want a strong CPC majority. But if it happens, I'm not going to be having a celebration party. I'm not going to be jumping for joy. I'll probably just go to bed. And I'll get up the next day and there's going to be at least a little part of me that's like, you know, things are going to take longer now. And the hope and the enthusiasm that you should feel when your chosen team wins is something that they will have to give me back. It won't be awarded on election day for me. It'll be something that trickles in depending on their level of accomplishment, depending on their level of delivery. And even if their level of delivery is good, there's still a whole pile of outstanding problems that they're not going to want to deal with. And we're going to have to still, as provinces, exert a movement towards greater and greater autonomy. Because even if the CPC in Ottawa proves to be our best friend as provinces, there will be another election. And that's the thing about the Conservative Party of Canada. One of the things about them, I should say, is that if you elect them, you'll get another election. If you elect the Liberals, I don't know if you do. And not because they'll take it away. They might. It's within their power. It's their prerogative, but they won't have to for 4 or 5 years. They will have a mandate. But you might lose your nation. That's the irony of this election. If you're looking to get rid of Canada, if you're looking to so weaken it that it gets absorbed by every other strong nation in the world, strong, independent nation, because they're talking about increasing our dependence on Asia, on China specifically. China's a very strong nation. They're ethnically cohesive. They're culturally cohesive. They've banned effeminate men from social media. They're trying to increase their birth rate. They are a rising, strong, assertive nationalist power. They are far closer. So we always talk about China in communistic terms, which I do as well. The truth of the matter is, China's a national socialist state. Far closer to national socialism than they are international socialism, which is the essence of communism. It's the same with North Korea. We often ascribe to North Korea that they're communistic. They're actually closer to national socialism than anything. Because there's an ethnic component, there's a cultural component, and there's an assertive component. And there's a command economy present. But I digress. China's about China. And Canada, under Mark Carney, will not be about Canada. It'll be about internationalism. And what does internationalism always lead to? Subjugation by nationalist forces in the world. You look around. This international ideal, this globalist ideal, this idea that you can take all of the diversity of the world and throw it into one melting pot and end up with some kind of working world government, has never worked. And I don't believe it will ever work. Look at the European Union. The only reason the European Union functions at all is because of overwhelming state force and power. But there's still all of these official languages all around the Union. There's all this diversity of interest within Europe, cultural Europe. There's disagreement between Eastern European states and Western European states. Hungary is throwing a monkey wrench into the entire project, but it's not just Hungary alone. And as their economic crisis, caused by principally, they're blaming Trump for it, but it's principally caused by their dogged enthusiasm for the Ukraine war, Germany entering recession for a third straight year, among other things, as those fractures gain width, the division will only strengthen. And the bigger you try to make Europe, the worse it's going to get. Look, there's another instance where you have NATO, which is an ascendant alliance, at least in the eyes of the West. Some commentators call it a corpse. Some generals call it a corpse. The U.S. government seems to believe that NATO is past its prime, and there's reason for that. But you look at what's happening right now between Turkey, Israel, and in Syria, which is something I want to explore more thoroughly. There's a very real risk that Turkey and Israel will end up killing each other's men in Syria because they have expressly different purpose. The addition of Turkey to NATO has weakened the alliance. I've been talking about that for years. I don't want to get into it too deep right now. The point is that any globalist initiative that has tried to capture the entire world collapses in on itself. Before the United Nations, there was the League of Nations. Didn't work because of non-participation. I think people need to understand that the last several decades of globalism under the United Nations, under the World Economic Forum, it's not ascendant anymore. It's actually failing. The thing that everybody's railing against, it's breaking up before our eyes. That's what multipolarity means. Even Mark Carney recognizes the end of that phase of globalism. He's in favor of a different one. But in the midst of his philosophizing and his economic ideas is this reality that I've talked about, that there are strong, ascendant, national socialist nations which will subjugate whatever areas of the world they can to their own purposes. And Canada is being fought over right now by stronger nationalist sentiment, including from the United States, which I would not describe as national socialist, but nationalist all the same. Meanwhile, Mark Carney writes in his book about how we need patriotism in Canada divorced from nationalism. I'm not sure how you get there, but these are some of the ideals that the man expresses in his work. But it's weird. As much as I want the conservatives to win, I don't have an incredible amount of enthusiasm for it. But that said, my instincts don't match my fears. I think they're better positioned than my own fears would have me believe. Perhaps the principal threat is the union of all the leftist parties, the Green Party dropping candidates to avoid vote splitting. There's a lot more cooperation on the left, and there always has been. They're so much better at coordination. They're so much better at coming together, and they're so much better at looking. First off, they're masters of language. They claim the word progressive. How can you be against progress? For simple people with simple minds, these words are magic. We talk about sorcery. We talk about magic. It all comes down to words and wordplay. And the left is masterful at it. The big red machine is a propaganda machine without equal, in my opinion. Not just here in Canada, but maybe in the Western world. They also look after the small roles. They get their people elected to municipal councils. They take over the school boards. They take over county positions. They've taken over academia, and academia churns out the degrees and churns out the people who end up going and working in the bureaucracy. Their hold is very strong on the organs of this country. The right hasn't looked after the small stuff, and the right is always like herding cats. It's fractured. It doesn't come together very well. So in the face of this manufactured crisis, which is in the minds of the Canadian left that Polyev will just give the country up, hand it over to Trump, that he is the great evil facing us, the threat to our unity, they are much more disposed to coming together, which is the principal threat in this election, is that the vote from the left will shift to the liberals to stop the great evil Pierre Polyev. And what's going to happen is if Carney wins, the people who voted for him are going to be the most disillusioned and disenfranchised of the entire lot. I think they're going to be shocked at how this man weakens Canada, doesn't save it, just carves it up and leads to its dissolution, which I've been warning about for months. To what effect, I don't know. And there are those who will say, you should vote for Carney because it will hasten the decline of the country. You have a point. But I have this belief in something beyond myself. And that belief in something beyond myself, that servitude to the Father, doesn't allow me to reward a person like Carney or the MPs and the Liberal Party underneath him who have done so much evil in this country. I can't do it. Now you might say, voting conservative is voting for another form of evil. We don't know that. If you want something new in this country, something noble, you want to try and chase the light, as it were, through politics, first off, it's a fool's errand. But second of all, there is no space for anything new right now because the mainstream right has not been tested. If that's your goal, you're a federalist and you want to hold Canada together and you want to create something new because you don't believe in the Conservative Party of Canada, the only way you're going to do that is by giving them a shot and letting them discredit themselves. Then you get space for operation. I wish people could understand that. But anyway, I have work to do. I have production value to bring to the table with all of its multifaceted meanings, which I think is an interesting thing. And it's April. I got to do taxes. So I'm going to go start that process. Pretty simple this year because I didn't make very much money, but I still have to do it. I'm Frank Vaughn. I'll see you in the next one.